I do want to take a moment to express my joy at being able to be here at the Atlanta Church. I so much appreciate the invitation of coming to be in this meeting. I've been looking forward to it for some time also, and been anticipating it and hoping and praying that the Lord would bless us all together. I trust and pray that the Lord will so bless His Word as I try to speak from it, that all of you would receive some spiritual blessing in hearing it, and hopefully desiring to be revived in our spirits. We sang that old hymn a while ago, and of course we always think about that when we have meetings like this, that we could have a real revival. And I hope that that will be true, and I hope that some of the things that I will be talking about will perhaps touch on that point. I do ask an interest in your prayers as we go forward into the service tonight, and not only tonight, but the other services in the meeting. This evening, I want to begin the meeting with considering a passage of Scripture found in the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. And I want to read in the 10th chapter of that book. I want to read just the latter part of the chapter, which will contain what I want to talk about this evening. So it's in the 10th chapter of Hosea, and I begin the reading at verse 9. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and this people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shalt a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalmon spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In the morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. That's from the 10th chapter of Hosea. And Hosea is somewhat of a difficult book to decipher and to understand. It's a book filled with various metaphors and allegories and figures, and that's what we find in the passage before us this evening. The prophet seems to be coming to Israel with a message of warning, with a challenge to Israel to turn from their wicked ways, to bow down before the Lord in humility, and to repent of their sins. If I understand it correctly, Hosea was writing primarily concerning the 10 northern tribes of Israel, which came to be known as Israel, as over against the southern tribes, which, of course, was Judah. And this occurred sometime shortly before the Assyrian invasion of Israel, and they were taken away into captivity, never to return. So it was in a great decline of Israel when Hosea wrote to them. And they were overtaken with all kinds of sin. And Hosea describes that in various ways. He talks about Israel being an empty vine. He talks about Israel as an adulterous woman. He talks about Israel being like a field that had been unplowed. And that is the main figure that I want to talk about this evening. The text that I will try to develop is there in the 10th, in the 12th verse of this chapter, where he calls upon Israel to sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. This is what we might call a farming figure, an agricultural figure. He talks about sowing and therefore reaping. And he describes them in this text as being like a field that has been left lying out for perhaps years. He speaks of it as fallow ground. And he talks to them about breaking up that fallow ground. And so these people had come to the place that they were hard in their hearts, unresponsive to the Word of God. They had become almost oblivious to the claims of the Lord upon their lives. They were just in a sad and pitiable condition insofar as their relationship to God was concerned. Now, in some ways, this describes how religion is in our own day, in the churches that we see around about us. As we look around about us today, there is such a deviation from the Word of God that it is really hard to recognize the true worship of God anywhere hardly around. That's the way it was with Israel. And that's the way it is today, it seems, in so many churches. People are so caught up with the cares and concerns of this life that receiving the Word of God is like receiving seeds into hard and fallow ground. And that's the picture that we have in this passage before us this evening. And that's what I want to talk about in the next few minutes. I want to try to develop some thoughts from this text coming out of the context of the message of the prophet to the nation of Israel, and particularly that northern kingdom of Israel, and how he cries out to them to bow before the Lord in confession and repentance. The text is an exhortation to Israel to attend to their ways and to seek the Lord. And there are three basic points that I'd like to develop in the message this evening. And if you look at the text, you will see that the text divides itself into those three points. First of all, you will notice that the text opens with the exhortation, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy." He speaks of sowing, and so this is, as I said earlier, this is a figure drawn from the field of agriculture. It is a figure actually that is often used in the scriptures. And here he talks about the idea of sowing. Sowing is something that is done by farmers, by those who do it. They do it with a view to harvest. When a farmer sows his seed, he expects and he hopes for a bountiful harvest. He looks forward to that. So it is in the spiritual lives of all of us. It's in the realm of our conduct before God. It is like sowing seeds. One of the great passages dealing with that is in the New Testament, in the parable of the sower. The seed in that parable is the Word of God, and in a sense, we can see that in our passage this evening. The seed is sown in order that fruit may be born. And indeed, in certain of the grounds that are described in the parable of the sower, there was some seed. There was some fruit that was born. And that idea, that figure is used again by the Apostle Paul. If you will look at this passage in the book of Galatians, in the sixth chapter of that book, Paul says this to that Galatian church. He says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So you see the figure there. It's a sowing, and God says that we will reap according to what we have sown in the way it has been sown. Notice here that the prophet exhorts the people to sow in righteousness. Now, what does he mean by that? Sow to yourselves in righteousness. It is sowing seed with the idea of producing righteousness, I believe we can say. It's the sowing of the Word of God. That's what we're doing when we preach the gospel. We are sowing seeds with the hope and expectation that righteousness will be produced in the lives of those who hear the Word of God and who bow before it and who obey it. It is sowing that is to be done according to the pattern of the Word of God, the pattern which God has laid out in His Word. The great Baptist theologian John Gill described it in this way when he commented on this verse of Scripture. He said, "Though it is best of all to understand it," that is this command, "to understand it as works of righteousness, so sowing unto righteousness, as it may be rendered, is doing works of righteousness, living soberly and righteously, doing works according to the Word of righteousness, from good principles and with good views, with a view to the glory of God." So that's what is meant, I believe, when Hosea commands them to sow to yourselves in righteousness. We might say that the prophet is exhorting Israel to sow the right seed in the right place at the right time for right purposes. And this, of course, is meant that This we may see here that it was something that they were not doing when he wrote to them. In fact, just in the next verse, he says about them, "Ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity." That's what they had done. And against that, he is exhorting them to sow to themselves righteousness rather than wickedness. And such sowing, he seems to indicate, will result in reaping in mercy. Now that's an interesting expression. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Now, I understand what the prophet is saying, is that it is not according to our merit in the sowing that we do that we are going to reap, but rather it is in the mercy of God. There really is no merit in the works that we do. Even the good works that we do really are not meritorious in the eyes of God. And so the blessings that come upon us in the process of sowing is according to the mercy of God. God is merciful to us, and he blesses us when we have done that which he requires of us to do. So that's the first part of the text. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Now, there's a second requirement that the prophet lays out here. If this sowing is to produce anything good in their lives, he goes on to say to them, "Break up your fallow ground." This is certainly a part of what it is to sow. The place where you sow the seed, the land, it must be good land. It must be land that has been prepared. And when he says, "Break up your fallow ground," this seems to imply the sad condition, the sad spiritual condition of these people. Fallow ground is land that has been left untilled, probably for several years. And that seems to describe the condition of these people of Israel. The ground is hard. It's unresponsive. It will not produce anything good, even if seeds are sown upon it. And later, another of the great prophets used the same figure with an addition to it. Probably a century or more after this, when Jeremiah wrote to the nation of Judah, who were by that time in a similar condition as this, he said to them in chapter 4 of Jeremiah, verse 3, he says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns." Jeremiah tells us that thorns are in this fallow ground, thistles, bad weeds, and all the rest of it. The thought seems to be that you only have to neglect the ground for it to produce. Have you ever noticed that? If you leave, it might be bare when you leave it, but after a time comes, what begins to grow in it? Weeds and thistles and thorns. You don't have to do anything for it to produce that. And that is how he is describing the state of the heart of these people. And you see, brothers and sisters, before sowing can be carried out, the prophet says that this fallow ground must be broken up. Indeed, when the farmer gets ready to plant, he must prepare the ground first of all. He must break up the hard clods that lie there on the ground. He must remove the briars and the thorns that have accumulated. He must make it soft and pliable so that it would be a suitable seed bed in which to sow his seed. It is something that is absolutely necessary as a preparation for sowing with the expectation of reaping a good harvest. And so again, this refers to the spiritual activity of preparing our hearts to receive the seed of the Word of God. It surely looks in our own day, again, if I could make that application of it, that many religious people can be described this way in the churches of today. Many of them are receiving seed in their hearts that are hard and cluttered with the cares of this life. Again, to refer to the parable of the sower, Jesus spoke of that in one of the types of ground that he described in that parable. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, at verse 14, he says this, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." That is what is wrong with many people in the churches today. If they come to church, their minds are preoccupied with what is going on in their lives and how they can produce more money and other things of a selfish nature. That's the kind of hearts they have. They've not prepared their hearts. And we should all give heed to that, brothers and sisters, as we think about ourselves. Are our hearts prepared to receive the Word of God? Has the hardness of our hearts been broken up? Have we sought the Lord? Have we sought to sow indeed to ourselves righteousness? Or have we not done that? It's a question that all of us should ask ourselves as we think about our own spiritual condition. Are we prepared to receive the Word of God? Are we ready to go forth and sow the seed that God has commanded us to sow? Well, that's the way the prophet describes these people. And these are the commands that he gives to them. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Break up your fallow ground. Now then, the last expression in the verse is most interesting, because now he comes to say, at the end of verse 12, "For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." You see, it seems now that the prophet lays aside the figure and uses direct language, as it were, although the metaphor, the figure, is still in the background. It is time to seek the Lord. And it's interesting in terms of how we interpret Scripture. Here the prophet uses a metaphor, a figure, to describe this spiritual condition of the people. But now he uses direct language, so that explains what he was talking about in the figure. Break up your fallow ground, sow to yourselves in righteousness, for it is time to seek the Lord. That's what he's talking about. It's time, brothers and sisters, for us to seek the Lord. Let us do that. Now, a couple of things let us notice about this expression. First of all, he says it is time to do this. It is the right time to seek the Lord. And to go back to the figure of farming and sowing and all of that. There is a certain time that things have to be done in sowing seed and farming, and if one expects to produce a harvest. Everything has a time, and we must do it at that right time. And if we don't do it at that right time, we are not going to have much of a harvest. That seems to be what the prophet is driving at. When the farmer goes out to plant his crop, which many farmers will be doing in the very near future, this is the time in the spring when everything is blooming out. That's the time to plant the seed. Well, if you put that off and you don't do it until the heat of summer comes and you plant your seed then, it's not going to amount to anything. That's the way it is in our spiritual lives. And the prophet is saying to the people now, the time has come when you must seek the Lord. This concept is used often in the scriptures to press upon us the urgency of doing what God requires of us to do. There is an urgency about this, brothers and sisters. We should see it that way. It is time. The time is now. Paul spoke of that in a passage in the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter 13 and verses 11 and 12. And here's what he says. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's what we are called upon to do, brothers and sisters. Let us obey the Lord. Let us seek the Lord. It is time to do that. And what he says it is time to do is to seek the Lord. I guess Isaiah helps us in understanding a little more what he is saying there. In this great passage in Isaiah 55, Isaiah writes this in verse 6 when he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And the implication is that there might be a time when he cannot be found and when he is not near. Seek him while he is near. And he goes on to say, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You see, there's a great promise that God gives us in seeking him in our hearts and in our lives. And furthermore, there is implied in the way the prophet frames his exhortation here that such seeking as he describes here means that it takes an all-out effort at it. This is not something that you can do as a pastime. It's not something that you can do just as a whim or something like that. It is something you have to put your whole heart into. Jeremiah put it like this. When he wrote in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, he said, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." It takes an all-out effort, brothers and sisters. It isn't something that you can do half-heartedly. And that's the problem, it seems to me, with so much of religion that we see around about us today. With many people, it seems to me that it's just a surface thing. It's just something that people do. I wonder sometimes why they are doing it. Again, Jeremiah described the people of the nation of Judah when he wrote in terms something like that. Listen to what he says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. He says, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet," listen to that, "from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." It just isn't going to work when we do things half-heartedly. When we do things slightly, God is calling upon us to put all of our effort into it, to do it with all of our hearts. And then finally, the prophet affirms this seeking and what it will produce by saying, "Do this, seek ye the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." And of course, he goes back to the figure of farming, of sowing seed. And here he talks about rain. We are to labor in this harvest till he comes and rains righteousness upon us. Crops have to have rain. It has to have water. Now, this is an interesting thing here. He had begun his exhortation by saying, "Sow unto yourselves in righteousness." Now he says, when you do that, when you seek the Lord with all of your heart, he will come and rain righteousness upon you. That is to say, when we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, he will come and rain upon us and bring to us just the thing that he commands us to do. Now, isn't that interesting? That's the promise that he gives us. We are to sow in righteousness, and if we do it diligently with all of our hearts, he says he will come and rain righteousness upon us. He'll bring to us just the thing that he wants us to do. Well, these are great exhortations, brothers and sisters, as we look at it. Sowing to ourselves in righteousness, breaking up our fallow ground, seeking the Lord with all of our hearts. And again, to go back to Paul as I come to close now, and what he said in that passage in Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he put it like this. He said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." And that summarizes, I think, what the prophet is saying to these people of Israel back in the Old Testament. be not weary in well-doing. May the Lord give us grace, give us strength, that we won't be weary in well-doing, that we'll seek the Lord with all of our hearts. And He has great promises for us as we do that. May the Lord grant His grace upon our lives, is my prayer.